The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm currently sat outside Putney Bridge Station.
Are you busking again or begging?
I'm waiting.
What are you waiting for?
To interview Jay. I was meant to interview him at 6:15, but then driving here, the traffic was horrendous, so he's having dinner with Kurt at the moment. They're going to call me in a second to go and have a chat. So I've just got here, and I thought I'd give you a call just to go over the week ahead, really. But I was just thinking, I was looking at the order of play and Jay's not on until Tuesday for his match, for his first match. So we just need to sort out where we're going to be or how we're going to do it, really. Because I was thinking that with the commitment to Birmingham, that maybe you should stay there and I'll oversee everything in London.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think probably the most sensible thing is for me to go to Birmingham tomorrow, Monday, and stay through till Thursday, so stay there 3 nights. It actually makes sense to get up there. Plus, the weather forecast is for dry tomorrow and rain on Tuesday. So,
well, let's see what happens then. Hopefully it's not like the week we just had in Nottingham. But what I'll do is I'm just going to head off and speak to Jay and Kurt now, because they've Kurt's just texted me to say that they're ready. So I'm going to go do that.
Okay.
And then we'll catch up and... Yeah, if you're in Birmingham for the week, I'll be in London and we'll take from there. Really, nature of the beast, having to be in multiple places at once.
Thank God there are two of us.
There needs to be two of me, really.
Why? Two of me would make more sense.
Two of me would be more.
Vastly more intelligent.
Just more proactive, attractive people in the world, I reckon.
What, with two of you?
Yeah. I'm sure there's many people who wouldn't complain.
I have no idea.
Notably why. People from Peru.
Yeah, okay. Well, Paddington Bear was from Peru, so... Okay. if you're gonna take stuffed toys as your allies, go for it.
Right, I'm off. I'll speak to you soon.
All right, mate. Cheers, then.
So, we're on the eve of Queens, we're at your hotel in Putney. What are your thoughts going into the week?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love playing Queens. I got the opportunity here to play for the first time last year off a wild card again. And yeah, there's such a different feel when you step up to ATPs, to challenges. It's a different world, so it gives you a lot of motivation to get to this level.
Because last year when we spoke, that was your first ATP match as well, wasn't it, against Query?
Yeah, that was the first one. No, the fact that obviously I'm here again and here playing a tournament that, you know, I used to watch as a kid is really nice.
How was it today as well, actually, with Stefanos having a hit?
Yeah. No, it was basically the same as hitting with Francis again. I hadn't even practiced with Stefanos since, I think we were 16 or something like that, 16, 17. So, no, it's nice. We always keep in touch on the phone and send, you know, funny pictures back and forth. So
you're good mates?
Yeah.
So where does that go back to? Because I saw your picture that Kurt put up on Instagram as well.
So it was literally the same year when I was 13. I met them all. So I met Francis, Mo, Stefanos, you know, all these guys through playing Tennis Europe and then going into team events around the world. Like, I always was meeting new people. You know, Michael Yemma, who I was practicing with the other week as well. So all these guys I've known around the same time.
Because Stefanos now, he's hit the stratosphere, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a really good player. He's done it before anyone else. And like I said, there's not a huge level difference, but fact he can obviously back it up, and I think he's like four in the race to London, says a lot going into Wimbledon. For me, I still see him as Stefanos, like the same guy my age, but he's five in the world, so you know, anything that I can see, you know, I'll always try and take from him. It doesn't bother me too much about the age, it's just, you know, he's doing something right.
Because when I watched you with Tiafoe the other day, I know he's like ranked top 40. To the naked eye, there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference between you and these guys.
No, and that's a lot of it. I'm 150 at the minute. TFO's like 30 something, used to be top 20, and Stefanos is 5, so there clearly is something there, because it is a big jump going, you know, even from 150 to 100, and then 100 playing the events to making, you know, semi-finals of them is big, and you know, that's why I like practicing with them, because I want to try and figure out what it is.
I guess it must give you that confidence to see those boys do that. And like I say, I'm not a coach and I'm not an expert by any stretch, but when I see you, it is only nuances really that maybe I can't see as just a standard fan, you know, that you think maybe you just work on a few bits that you're going to have that, you know, rapid rise like Stefanos did last year when he finished, I think, 15th by the end of the year.
Yeah, and like I said, that's the thing. There's no real level difference. They put a better level on the court, you know, 7 days a week at the minute. And yeah, when they start playing ATPs, they cause upsets. And now they're actually, when you beat them, they're the ones that upsets happen to. So the fact that both of those have done it so fast in the space of like 2 years is unbelievable.
So I guess you could do with an upset this week, because Lucas is 25.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, we're going to go over the match tonight and then again tomorrow and yeah, just try and come up with the best plan.
So what are your thoughts going into that match? Because last year, Querrey was a player who was fairly well established. You know, he'd just been in the Wimbledon semi-final the year before when he had beaten Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And now Lucas isn't quite at that grade, but he's still a player that's highly ranked.
Yeah, he made semis of Aussie Open this year. So it's not, I mean, there's no easy draws. It's ATP 500 and yeah, you know, you're going to have to play your best tennis to even win one match, let alone win the tournament. And you look at the field that, you know, Queens always manages to pull out. It's because they treat the players so well. And yeah, it's just a really nice place to play tennis. So for me to win, I'm going to have to play some good tennis and execute the right times.
So what's the weekend experience been like? Because yesterday when you turned up, I saw you on Instagram with the players' lounge and everything else. So I guess it's something when you go there that it's just as much an experience off court as it is on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, for me at the minute, playing challenges in, you know, a place like Uzbekistan, and you know, it's not really luxurious. So whenever I actually get to come home to the UK, it's nice. And the fact that we have such a good opportunity to play these tournaments as well makes it better.
When you say that you're playing those challenges in, you know, these far-flung countries, it's almost like you earn the right to be at Queens. That's the way I look at it. Do you think that's the same?
Nah, because obviously everyone makes their own tournament schedule. I go there because, to be honest, it actually suits my game quite well with the conditions. But I'm new to the challenger scene, and like I said, I've travelled with my brother, so sometimes you make the right choice and you go to a tournament and you win it, or you play well there, and sometimes you're like, this doesn't suit me. So every year, every tournament, we're getting smarter, you know, creating a better plan for the year after. If we like it, we'll go back. Or if not, if my ranking's higher, then we won't play. But yeah, it's just becoming more clear.
So you got your Queen's wild card. What's the process of how that happens? Because I guess for you guys, it's a normal thing to know when you're getting put into competitions. But for someone like me who's on the outside looking in, how does it go? You know, how do you get your wild card? Do you have to apply for it? Do they just phone you up and say that we're going to help you out because it's in the UK? How does that work?
It's basically based on results after Wimbledon until the first tournament before the grass events, I think. So since Wimbledon last year, I won 2 big challenger events, my first 2. And yeah, like I put in a pretty good performance at Queen's last year. I like grass, did well at Wimbledon. There's a lot of things, obviously, in my favour. And the fact that I'm young obviously helps a lot because, you know, hopefully I won't be needing the wild cards in, you know, 3 or 4 years or even next year. It would be nice not to need it. But yeah, it's all down to the discretion of the LTA. They nominate people to Wimbledon, and for Queens, it's only down to the club. So.
And that's through Stephen Farrow?
Yeah, that's Stephen Farrow, yeah. And a few of the other members there.
So, in terms of the Clark entourage, who's coming with you? Obviously, we've got we've got Kurt sat right next to us right now, but who else is coming? Is your dad coming down?
Dad was going to come, but he's not well enough this time. So, mum will stay at home with him. My other sister's working, but Yaz, the one that still plays, like, coaches tennis, she'll come down. And yeah, I'm sure I'll find some friends from around London that will make the trip. But yeah, not a full one this time, but it should be good.
How do you feel when you go, you know, you were on court number one last year. How does it feel when you step out on that court? Because that's like, to tennis players and fans, that's like hallowed turf, isn't it?
Yeah, it was strange because I wasn't nervous at all before the match. Like, I think we were playing cards or something in the room about an hour before I was going on. And then when you're actually at the steps, you're like, oh, it's very different. And then, yeah, walking out onto court, obviously, you're never the favourite in these events when you're a wild card in. But it's so different, you know, people cheering your name. And you try not to look up because obviously the stands are so big and, you're just trying to stay focused and start the match well.
And it's Father's Day. Have you had a chat with your dad today?
Yeah, I spoke to my dad a bit. I'm going to call him again after this. He wants to talk about the match as well. But yeah, no, it was a nice day.
Has he given you any advice yet on...
He always does, every match. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter which country I'm in. If it's 4 a.m. in the UK and I'm playing, he'll always call me 15 minutes before the match and, yeah, offer some words of wisdom, so...
Does his words of wisdom contradict what Kurt says to you before a match?
No.
Don't listen to Kurt, listen to me, Jay.
No, they don't, because obviously my dad coaches both, so it's nice that we all still think the same. And obviously my dad's been away from the tour for a while, but we always try and keep him updated with what I'm working on, how I'm feeling, you know, how the courts are playing, stuff like this. And it's nice for him, obviously, because he can't travel with his health anymore, to still feel like he is part of the team, which obviously he is, but obviously not a travelling part, so, yeah.
And just lastly, just thinking about the week this led into Queen's, how are you feeling now? Because it was a little bit disappointing the way it ended at Nottingham.
Yeah, Nottingham was strange. Obviously, there wasn't a whole lot of tennis played on the grass and we went on very late. There was a lot of sitting around and, yeah, early in the match, I twinged my back a bit. And it was one of those where, you know, I could play through with some pain and I think I'm too young to start doing that. So... we made the decision that I won't play and I'll try and get a good five, six days of recovery in before Queens, and yeah, now I'm back to normal. So
it
just
helped.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. Obviously, I hate retiring, but, you know, obviously prioritising Wimbledon, Eastbourne and Queens, you don't want to, you know, maybe do something, and especially when you're feeling pain in the middle of a match and you're trying to peak for the week after, it's not good to play through. So
I guess when you see so many players that have played through a pain barrier at times and then they get it later on in their career,
yeah,
this is wise not to push yourself like that.
Yeah, like, and like I said, like, a lot of players, it's rare in any high level sport to play without pain at all. I know a lot of the guys, I know I have, you know, back ends of tournaments, you know, your body's aching every day when you wake up, but it was just one of those things where I looked at my team on the balcony and said, I don't want to risk it, because we didn't know what it was and it came on so fast. So, like, I didn't know if I was going to play this week, so, like, we'll just give it a few days, you know, keep doing the right things and try and get back to normal. And, yeah, it's all good now.
So, Kurt, how was the week as a coach? Because you two were apart for a couple of days, weren't you?
Yeah.
Because you were off having fun.
Yeah, my girlfriend's birthday. She was here for a few days, so... I was enjoying myself a bit. Yeah, it's been a good week. You know, obviously, practiced with some top players and, you know, obviously, after what happened last week, you know, obviously hurting his back in the last match he played wasn't ideal, but, you know, we've actually had some really good prep. He's actually looking good, you know, for the week ahead.
So what is the process for you as a coach then when things maybe take, not a turn for the worse, but sort of a bump in the road in terms of what your schedule is and your preparation? And, you know, it's the first grass court event of the summer, so you're playing the long game. What's the process that you have to go through as a coach?
So we sit down, after what happened, and, you know, me, Jay's physical trainer, the whole team, and say, you know, what happened? Why did it maybe happen? How can we fix it? You know, obviously, especially in such a short period of time, this is going to be, you know, pivotal to figure out what it was and almost stop doing it at this point. You know, we can always revisit it at a later stage. I think we did like a really good job of that in the last week, and he's ready now, so yeah, it's looking good.
When a player has to retire early in a match, not just talking about Jay generally, but just, you know, tennis players, do you ever see it and have a bit of concern thinking, well, how bad could this be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have that. I guess I know, obviously, Jay's not injury prone like some players have been in the past, and obviously they're very unlucky. Jay's very, very lucky that he's not had anything really his whole career. It's obviously why he's got up there so quickly as well. I think obviously he's never been halted and, you know, his progress. But yeah, some players are very unlucky with it, and Jay's not been one of them.
So in terms of the way you train, what do you have to change?
Just look at the exercises he's maybe doing and the movement patterns that he's been getting to in maybe in practice, you know, on the court or in the gym, and adjust those slightly or add some more stretches in or some more core exercises, or you just kind of take a few things out and put a few things in, I guess.
And looking ahead to this match at Queen's now, with, you know, coming up against Lucas, how important is it that Jay gets to hit with someone like Stefanos, who's a player he knows well, but a player who's obviously, like we say, in the last 18 months has suddenly just shot right up the rankings, and I think he's the highest ranked player at Queen's now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's actually the top seed this week. I think it's great. It's like Jay said, you know, practicing with him, practicing with TFO, it kind of just like reassures you again that you are doing the right things. You know, you see what they're doing, you think, okay, I'm doing the same things. You're kind of just waiting for those results. You're obviously not waiting, but you know they're coming. You know you're doing the right things day in, day out, eating right, sleeping right, training right, you know, listening to your coach, listening to your fitness trainer, staying focused as much as possible. So it's good to like be on court with those guys because you see you're on the right track.
And for you as a coach, when you see Stefanos with his dad, I guess that's a nice thing, isn't it? Because you see what you guys are doing as the Clark family, and then the Tsitsipases are doing it as well. And it sort of shows that if you keep it close as well, it can still go far.
Yeah, I think that's actually good for everyone to see. Obviously, families have really excelled. You've got their family, you've got people like the Yemers as well. I think family works really well because obviously you grow up playing together, so you know each other so well, and how they're not just about the tennis, but it's how they're feeling, you know, emotionally on the day or for the week even. You can kind of cater practice to that or say, actually, maybe tonight we eat somewhere closer, and those things are actually really important when you get to this stage.
Mm. So you said about the hotel room, you've stayed here a few times. Is this part of the process in terms of just keeping things familiar?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jay's very lucky. He gets to stay at the Premier Inns for free, so that, which is really, really good. And they're always really good beds, and, you know, you have the breakfast. Even if you want to eat a dinner here, you know where it is. You've eaten the menu before. It's safe. It's easy. That's kind of what you want in a week.
And what are your hopes for the week in terms of... It's a big ask because he's playing a guy who's so highly ranked, but in order to see a good performance and, you know, just go from there, really. Because last year against Querrey, when I saw him there, like I said, it was his first ATP match, but he pushed him. Yeah, I think he lost on two tie breaks, didn't he?
Was it 5-4 or something like that? Maybe it was one set was very close anyway, but I think, again, it's obviously very small margins on this level, especially on grass, you know, one break and it's really tough to get it back. I kind of look, obviously, as a coach and less as a brother more and more as, you know, we get further on down the line. And there's obviously indicators I look for, like little markers he's maybe doing in his game. You know, is he hitting this well or is he doing that well? And that's kind of more what I look for instead of, you know, maybe the result coming off. I look towards the future every week, I guess. Yeah.
How do you have those conversations with him when you talk about it? Because my brothers and I will argue, but then you forget about it because you're brothers.
Yeah, we've got very common goals. You know, we want him to be really successful. He knows where he's trying to go with his game, you know, what the future maybe looks like. And I think you've got to stay on that path as much as possible as a team, yeah.
And just looking at the wider picture, obviously there's a lot of players in between in terms of ages, but when you see Jay on his route to Milan with the next-gen finals, and Stefanos at the top of that, but Jay's not too far off in terms of the actual positions of those players, that in terms of the players of that age group, he's at the top of it, if you like.
I guess it's exciting. I mean, obviously Jay's ranking is going up slowly but surely, but I think obviously his tennis level is probably higher than his ranking is. You know, like you said, obviously they play probably well 7 days a week. Jay probably plays well, I don't know, 5 or 6 more than, you know, more often than not, which is still a lot. I mean, I've seen obviously a couple of guys are maybe higher or lower, and they're doing a similar thing. I think everyone's kind of obviously waiting for your time, but you have to keep doing the right things every single day.
He's a very, I know we're saying this as he sat there as well, but he's a very calm presence, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't get carried away. But as a coach, when you come to Queen's, how do you make sure that he stays in that frame of mind? Because for some people, being at the event, just the fact that it's Queen's could maybe make him tail off a little bit and he can get the better of them.
Well, I think that's also, again, a good thing about seeing all the guys who are the same age as him there. You know, I think today they were all playing table tennis for a little bit of it. You know, that those things just kind of ease you into the environment. And also seeing, obviously, Kyle, Andy, you know, Cam, obviously maybe Dan when he comes down. It does really make you feel comfortable because you see people you know, I guess, and it all helps.
What's the camaraderie like behind the scenes in the players now?
Oh, it's really good. It's obviously, you have to wear the table tennis, everything is, it's really, really fun. But yeah, at times it's one of the best player lounges in, you know, the whole year. Obviously, I haven't played so many ATPs yet, but it's actually one of my favourite tournaments the whole year. Yeah, I love going back there.
And what are those grass courts like to see and sit on? And it's almost like a declaration of, like you say, you're on the right track, you know, you're going somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's really good how close they all are. It adds like a real buzz, and obviously people can walk down the middle of them, which is great. You know, spectators need to be a huge part of it.
So now we're on Sunday. Jay's not playing till Tuesday. So what's for the next, say, 36 hours, what's the process that you're going to be taking Jay through?
Yeah, so I have loads of videos actually on Dartfish of his opponent, and I'll just go back and watch those, and so will Jay, and maybe watch them again together, actually, and we'll kind of, you know, put some things together, each of us, and then we'll coordinate and see, you know, what kind of comes up. Is it similar stuff? Is it maybe we need to say, okay, take something out from you or take something out from me? And that's kind of how we've always gone about this process.
So how hard do you push it physically the day before a match?
It can vary a lot. I mean, you know, sometimes not very hard, sometimes really hard. Depends where Jay Moorfield is at as well. You know, if he needs to maybe do an extra hour some days, or sometimes actually, you know, 30 minutes is enough. We really have to judge it on the time. And again, that also is kind of a good thing about obviously being his brother as well as his coach. You know when to push and when to obviously ease off.
So you're down to Queens tomorrow for a hit?
Yeah. So we're arranging practice, I think it's at 12. So we'll go down there, you know. He's looking really good at the moment, so we'll go through the motions maybe a bit more and, you know, won't push him too hard and just kind of get ready for tomorrow, you know. But obviously have the tactics in mind and things like that when you practice, so you maybe, you know, play a little bit more here or go a little bit more there or do certain things, but that's it really, yeah.
And I saw you guys were involved in some stuff on Saturday with some young kids on the indoor courts.
Yeah, so I think those kids actually won, they came first in the Youth Game Olympics, I think. I think that's what the coach told me there, so it was a nice opportunity for obviously those kids to be on court with someone like Jay, and I think it was Medvedev as well, who was also on the court next to them, so that's a great opportunity.
What I was going to ask about, just from a coach perspective actually, because you bring up Medvedev, so Lucas beat Medvedev in Stuttgart last week, and he's one of the, you know, younger up-and-coming players. He's obviously a bit too old for the next gen now, but then he got to the quarters, so he's playing all right on grass, isn't he?
Yeah, obviously great player. We actually hit with him last year and said, you know, how good he was, and you can see obviously why he's won so many ATPs already. He's very focused. He's, you know, he's got obviously got a lot of belief. He's obviously always looks like he's always doing the right thing. So that's the keys really. It's no magic at this level. It's just hard work and, you know, sticking to your path.
I love those interviews. I think we're getting real insight into the Clarks. As a documentary maker, though, I would have been concerned about the music playing in the background. It interrupts an interview and can be distracting. Luckily, Jay, Kurt and Gary have strong enough voices to be heard over it, but it's really not advisable. All parties survived, though, and that's the main thing. The tennis tour now splits into separate events for the men and the women, as do Gary and myself. He'll follow Jay's fortunes at Queen's, and I'm heading off to Birmingham, where the women will fight it out in the Nature Valley Classic. Bring it on, and please, bring me sunshine. With each smile, bring me... You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series. And when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster. and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.